Psalms 82, verse 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Together in verse 8. Ready? Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Now, Psalms 82, we're calling this a psalm for justice. A psalm for justice. Some of the psalms are very emotional. We've talked about that before. This one is not as emotional. It's really more somewhat devotional, but really a practical, one of the more practical psalms. And so we're going to talk about justice tonight from Psalms 82. Let's pray, get into the message. Father, we'd pray now where, Lord, our hearts are stirred as we think about just the need of the gospel around the world. And every time a missionary comes, Lord, we're reminded of another area, another place where people need to hear about Jesus. They need to be saved. And then, Lord, those of us who are saved, Lord, we need to grow closer to you and be discipled and be all that we could be for Christ. But whether it's salvation or whether it's sanctification, Lord, you are the author. You're the means of this happening. We can't just work it up and figure it out ourselves. We need you. Pray that you bless us tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to talk a little fast, at least getting into it. And the kids are in the back in the Transformers Club. And if we're late here and they're late back there, that doesn't always go well back there. So they have a set time, and when we run past that time, then the kids start tying up the workers and all those kind of things. And so that doesn't go as well. So I'll talk a little fast as we get going. This psalm here, Psalms 82, is about justice. You can see that pretty easily, I think, as you read through it. God stands in congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods, and he begins talking along this idea of justice. But it's not just about justice. It's especially about justice, watch this, towards God's people, but not just towards God's people. It's justice towards God's people, now watch this, this is key to the psalm, by God's people. It's God's people showing justice towards God's people. That's really the main thrust of Psalms 82. So it's God's people treating God's people justly. Now, it's one thing to be treated unjustly by the world. We almost expect the world to treat us unjustly. We almost expect the world to be unfair, to be unjust, to be unkind towards us. We just kind of assume that. I mean, they're unsaved. They don't know the Lord. And here we are trying to live for the Lord. And we just assume there'll be opposition. All you have to do is take a moment, think about Calvary, and you know this world is opposed to the things of God. And so when there's an unjustness by the world, that may bother us, it may offend us, it may bring us into some type of travail, but it's not the same as when God's people treat us unjustly. Then it's a different thing along that line. When the injustice is being caused by fellow believers, it seems to be more unjust. I mean, if those who don't know Christ treat me unjustly, it's like, okay, they don't know Christ. But you know Christ. You're a fellow believer, especially if we go to church together. We go soul winning together. We pray together, and you're treating me unjust. How unjust is that? That seems to be even more unjust. It reminds me, probably the most famous stories along that line would be during World War II when the Germans came in and occupied a nation. Often they would use those nationalities kind of to rule over the conquered people. For example, let's say it's France. They would hire French people, as it were, to enforce the German will among the other French people. Now, you know what? The French people who were being mistreated by the bad French people didn't care for that too much. And when the Germans were driven out, guess what happened to these collaborators? They were not treated well. Because they said, okay, the Germans are the conquerors. We expect them to be mean. But you're our fellow French people. Why would you treat us this way? And I think that's the same attitude we have when the saved people, the fellow believers, are treating us unjustly. Now, when we come to Psalms 82, there's one thing that we need to explain and understand. It might trip us up if we're not careful. And that's in verse 1 and verse 6. Go back with me if you will. It says verse 1, God standeth in congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Now, he's not talking about false gods there. He's talking about people. Look at verse 6. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So we might get tripped up a little bit about that word gods, maybe taken a little bit back. Let me see if I can explain it, because it really helps us understand what the thrust of this psalm is. This term where he uses gods here in verse 1 and verse 6, this term is used to signify judges. That's the idea. When he says gods, he's talking about the judges, the people who have some type of authority, who have the ability to mete out judgment or justice on the people. Then you say, well, why does he use the word gods? Because what he's talking about is this. These are Jewish people who are judges over other Jewish people who are supposed to be judging by God's law. And he's saying is this, you're in the place of God, as it were. You're taking God's law and you're standing in judgment of God's people. And what you ought to be doing is judging the way God would be judging in that situation. And so he's using that phrase God, or that term gods. In other words, these are judges who represent God. And the Lord then brings this out. He says, first of all, I'm upset about the injustice that you're doing. I'm really upset because your fellow gods, here's Jewish people mistreating Jewish people. In our application, it's believers mistreating believers. Then he says this, and in addition to that, you're doing it in the name of God. It's a reproach to God himself. You are supposed to be representing me, and you're a bad representation. So not only are you doing injustice towards fellow believers, but you're reproaching me. You're as it were, blaspheming me because of what you're doing here. Now, as I read that verse maybe to you, back in verse number 6, where he says, I have said you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. Did anything strike you about that verse? Something maybe Jesus said that. John chapter 10. I knew you guys were scholars. I could count on you getting that answer right. John chapter 10. Go with me. Because it's interesting. Jesus himself quotes, here's a little nugget as you're turning to it. Psalms is one of the most quoted books in the New Testament. I think it is the most quoted. John chapter 10. Now notice what the Lord says, because this is really in part of Jesus' issue here with the Jewish people. John chapter 10, look with me in verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. The Jewish people are passing judgment on Jesus, and they find Jesus guilty. Doesn't that kind of strike you as odd? Those people who are obviously sinners are getting ready to stone the one who's never sinned. Odd. Verse 32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? In other words, this judgment you have is not an accurate judgment. It's injustice. The Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, it is not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. He's quoting here Psalms 82. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say of whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I say, I am the Son of God. If I do the works of my Father, believe me not, but if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not, but if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Now, there's a long part of a longer narrative, and there's an argument being made here, but to put it more succinctly, at least as far as we're referring to in Psalms 82, Jesus is basically saying this, your judgment is wrong, therefore your behavior is wrong, because it's not in line with what Scripture is. You're being unjust. You are in a place, as the Pharisees were, to judge, to make a judgment, but you're not making the right judgment. There's an injustice going on here. So therefore they are treating Jesus unjustly. Now that's all by way of background and introduction. Let's get ready for the application part here. As we think about the idea of justice, our goal, now as believers, that's the thrust here, our goal as believers should be to treat everyone justly, the best we can. When we're dealing with the lost world, a lot of times we look at the world and we say, what's wrong with the world? Well, there's several things. One is that they're lost. That's the big problem. They're unsaved people. And guess what? They're acting like unsaved people. They act like they don't know God because they don't know God. So we said, what's the answer? Win them to the Lord. Okay, elections are good. Elections don't change the whole situation. What changes situations is people getting saved, knowing Christ, being discipled in the ways of God. That's what, you know, you listen to these testimonies of these fellows. My dad was a drunkard. That's what Brother Jay said. My dad was a drunkard. Now he's a preacher. What happened? It wasn't an election. It was salvation. Salvation changes things. And so that's what's going to change our country. So first of all, they don't know God. And number two, there's multiple problems. But the number two problem is this. We're not what we should be as a testimony to this world. You know what? If we're not going to be just with each other, why are we complaining that the world is unjust? When we as believers don't treat each other right, we're not treating each other right, why are we looking at the world saying, what's wrong with the world? Well, maybe because our light is not shining. Maybe because we're not the salt that we should be. And so if the world is going to change, we need to be the impetus in how we treat one another as believers. So there needs to be justice here. So our goal should be treat everyone justly, but watch this, especially those who are fellow believers. When we're dealing with a fellow believer, there should be something like a switch that goes off in our head and say, well, wait a minute, wait, let me think. I got to make sure I'm treating that person right. Because that is a fellow believer. And I want to be a good testimony in this. And I'm representing God in this. And I got to be fair and right about this God. Now, I use that word fair, and I'm going to counter that here. Our goal is really about justice, not fairness. And here's why I say that. It's hard to get two people to agree on what's fair. You know what's fair to me? Fair to me is you give me $100. You say, well, that's not fair to me because I'd have to give it. You know, get over it. Suck it up, buttercup. Come on, give me the $100. So, well, I might think it's fair. You don't think it's fair. But justice is not based on my opinion and your opinion. Justice is based on the Word of God. What does God say about it? That's what determines what's just. And so here we're going to talk in the next few moments about this idea about being just towards one another. So go with me now to Psalms 82. What does this psalm teach us about this justice between ourselves? Well, we're going back to verse 1 and verse 6 to get our first point of application. Number 1 is this. Be careful when you must judge others. Sometimes you have to make a judgment. But we should not rush to that. We should not be eager. If someone says, hey, can you make a judgment call here? We ought to say, can you find someone else? I'm not comfortable making a judgment call. I'd rather someone else do. We shouldn't be rushing to judgment. We shouldn't be eager to make a judgment. But sometimes you have to. Sometimes you look at a situation and you gotta make a judgment. So here's number one. Be careful when you must judge others. We look again at verse 1. It says this, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. Now this is God judges among the gods. In other words, the Lord is watching how you make that judgment. The Lord is judging your judgment. That's the idea. Verse 6, I've said ye are gods and all of you are the children of the Most High. And so we are representing the Lord, so we want to be careful when we're called to make a judgment. And we think about this idea about judging others. It isn't how we feel or think about the situation. That's not how we judge. What we need to do is, what would God want in this situation? Our judgment has to be what God's judgment would be. Now, if you have been around fellow believers for a while, you know this to be true, I would think. It's easy to respond to people based on how you feel about the situation. Some people just rub you wrong. Some people just, you're like fire and gas. You don't get along with each other. So when they walk in the room, immediately you're like, it's that person again. They just rub you the wrong way. Now, if you respond out of your feelings or how you think about them, your judgment probably won't be proper judgment. Question is, what does the Bible say? How does the Lord want us to treat one another? See, justice isn't my opinion. Justice goes back to the Lord's judgment about it. Now, we're going to turn down this little side road here. Stay with me. Don't get lost. Woods are a spooky place. We think about justice. Now listen to this statement. When we think about justice, especially when we're dealing with believers, is much more than our actions. In fact, most of us who are church-going people, we know how to act towards one another. But what causes an injustice is how we speak towards each other. little knives, little arrows we shoot back and forth. Because we say, well, I didn't do anything. You know, I know you didn't do anything. But the words you used to not to do anything were very hurtful words to use. So we may treat them justly, but we don't always speak to them justly. Our actions may be just, but our words are unjust. Maybe the number one injustice we perpetuate on others, talking about fellow believers, is with our words. We say things that are unkind. We say things that have dig to them. Say things that are cutting, that are not edifying, things that are not encouraging, things that tear them down, things that hurt them. And that's an unjust way to treat other people. Now, here's what I've learned in dealing with people. Now, I'm going to give you the statement. It may not make sense at first, but when I explain it, I think it'll make sense. Here's what I've learned in dealing with people. I can always kill them. I know you're like, what? That doesn't sound like what a preacher should say. Okay, follow me. I'm talking about with my words. I can always kill them, but I can't always bring them back to life. I can always use my words to kill someone. But once that happened, CPR doesn't always work. I'm sorry doesn't always work. Oops doesn't always work. So I need to be very careful how my words go out, because my words may go out and I may kill them with my words, and then I'm stuck with this dead body, and there's this ought between us, and that apology is not going to work, and that hey, let's see if we can get things right, and it's not going to work because I've been hurtful and hateful with my words. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I wouldn't either unless the Bible says something about it. Let's see if the Bible says something about it. Proverbs, if you will. Proverbs talks a lot about our words. You ever notice that? It talks a whole lot about our words. Proverbs 18, if you will. Go with me to verse 21. Now, we're talking about justice here. So we want to be very careful when we have to make a judgment. What am I going to say to this person? How am I going to respond to this person? I'm going to be very careful because I don't want to be unjust, to do an injustice with my words. Proverbs 18, look with me in verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Notice what it says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words have the ability to kill or to bring life. Go with me to another place, James chapter 3. It's another famous place about words. I read once the book of James is considered the book of Proverbs of the New Testament. That's kind of interesting thought, because a lot of times James and Proverbs talks about some similar things. James, if you will. And look with me at chapter number 3. Look with me in verse 8 as well. James 3, verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. Now watch this next phrase. Full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Now watch what he says next. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. In other words, that's not how we're supposed to be talking towards others. So what I'm encouraging tonight, at least in this part of the message, is this. Be very careful in the words we use. Now, I say this, there's a sarcastic kind of a cynicism to it. So I hope you understand what I'm saying. Some people, some believers, could double their spirituality if they would cut in half the words they say. If they would just shut their mouth and not say anything. In fact, Proverbs talks about this. People would look at them and say, wow, they're pretty smart. Hey, they're pretty wise. I don't hear them say anything foolish. And the reason is because they're not saying anything. And so it's better to keep our mouth shut, and before I say something to a fellow believer, before I pass judgment, before I use my words to say this is wrong or you shouldn't do this or say things that are hurtful, I should stop and say, wait a minute, I better be thinking about what I'm saying, because if I'm being unjust with my words, that's an offense not just to them but to the Lord himself. Let me be very careful. Let me show you. I got multiple verses, but I want to show you one here. Go with me to Psalms again, Psalms 141. Now, we see this in Proverbs 17, we see it in Proverbs 10, but we're going to go to Psalms 141. Look at me in verse 3. Psalms 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That's a good prayer for us right there. Lord, help this thing here to shut up. Keep this mouth shut. Because if I can keep this mouth shut, I'm probably going to be on the better side of the Lord. I don't want to be offensive to the Lord. I don't want to be offensive to God's people. I need to be careful how I use my words in these things. So when we make a judgment on someone, okay, we're getting to the end of this point. When you have to make a judgment on someone, you just can't speak out of your feelings or frustrations. You know, it's easy to do that. It's easy just to unload on someone. It's easy just to say, what are you, stupid? How many stupid times are you going to do the same stupid thing? Can you not quit being so stupid about it? But what have I just done to that person? Let me tell you what I've done. I've gotten it off my chest. I feel a whole lot better. But is that how the Lord deals with people? Is that the judgment we're supposed to have to fellow believers? Really, I want to stand before the Lord and say, yeah, you know this person you died for, this person you shed your blood for, this person you love, this person you left the splendors of heaven and came down and was born and lived 33 sinless years, went to a cross, went to a grave, three days and three nights later came out of that grave for this person. I just said, how many times did I just call this person stupid? Really, that doesn't please the Lord. So I got to be careful about my words and how I pass judgment with my words. So even though my actions may be just, but I got to make sure my words are just as well. So when we think about this idea of justice and judgment, we got to be careful that how we judge others. Let's move forward. Go back with me to Psalms 82. The second thing we see here from Psalms. So there's a carefulness in our words and our judgment. There's a second thing. Psalms 82, go with me to verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. So here's the second big application. Number two is this. Be aware of your responsibility in judgment. When I have to make a judgment in a situation, if I'm dealing with, say, maybe it's family, maybe it's my kids, maybe it's in a church situation, maybe I'm involved in a ministry, maybe it's just friends, fellow believers who are friends, I have to be aware of what does the Lord hold me responsible in my judgment. Now, I've mentioned before, there's a big difference between fair and just. Fair is what we think is right. It's usually based on how I feel, how it affects us. We can't help it. We're emotional people. God created us that way. We feel a certain way, and those feelings affect the way we treat someone. But we got to be careful that we don't become unjust in that. So we're not talking about just being fair. We're talking about being just. What is right based on the Bible? Now that requires wisdom, and that requires a willingness to sacrifice your own self-interest. You know what is hard to do when you're dealing with someone and it affects you, not to either manipulate it for your behalf or to respond to them angrily because it affects you. You have to say, doesn't matter how it affects me. Doesn't matter what I want. What matters is what is right in this situation. And what's right in this situation may be negative towards me, but that's fine if that's what's right in this situation. So our responsibility is to be just, not to be fair to them or fair to us, but to be just in that situation. So the Lord talks about several principles here about being just. I'm going to just share them with you. Psalms 82 again, look at verse 2. He says, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? So if I'm going to be just in my judgment, here's the first thing. And I kind of alluded to it, and I'm going to give it to you. Focus on the principle, not the person. Because sometimes what we do is, this person really irritates me, and now I'm going to get them. That's not how I look at it. I have to look at it. What's the principle that we're dealing with? It's easy to favor the one who's the nicer person. It's easy to favor the one who maybe puts more money in the plate. It's easy to favor the one who you enjoy being around. But sometimes the person who's the knothead, the person who's the one who's like, oh, again? Really? Again? It's easy to say, well, you know what? I'm just always going to unload on that person. But that may not always be the right thing to do. We don't accept a person. We don't look at, say, well, I like that person, don't like that person. We say, no, what is right? What is just in this situation? We focus on the principle, not the person. Doesn't matter if they're rich or poor, black or white. None of that matters. What matters is this. You have to be principled in your judgment. Now, there's an old Baptist joke that goes along this line. Are you ready? Because I think it applies pretty well here. Guy comes to the Baptist preacher, like this. Maybe the Baptist preacher's during the week. Guy came knocking on the door. Says, hey, I know I don't go to your church or anything, but so I have a question for you. Baptist preacher says, okay, what's your question? He said, do you do pet funerals here? He goes, not really. He said, well, let me tell you my situation. I love this dog. This dog, he was like a black dog. He was kind of a lab something mix, like a boxer or something. Called him Zeke. He was a great dog. He was a great dog. So anyways, he's a great dog. And you know, he lived to be 15 years of age, but he died. And I'm really heartbroken. Obviously, this is not me. I'm really heartbroken about this death of this dog. And so I really want to do a nice funeral. And the Baptist preacher said, nah, we don't really do pet funerals. That's not something we do. And guy said, okay, I have another question for you. You know anyone who would do that? And the guy said, Catholics. They would probably do it. They do all kinds of different things. So he said, go to ask the Catholic Church and they'll probably do it. And the guy said, okay, he said, I got one more question for you. The Baptist preacher said, okay, what is it? He said, I want to do this right. I don't know, I love this dog. If this church, Catholic Church, does it, do you think $20,000 would be a good enough donation for him? The guy's Baptist, wait, I got a question for you. Was that a Baptist dog you had? That changes everything. Now, that's sometimes how we approach things. We look at things, how does it affect me? And what he's saying here in Psalms 82, it doesn't matter how it affects you. What matters is the principle. It doesn't matter the person. What matters is the principle. We don't respect them as a person and say, we're going to favor you. What we say is, we respect the Word of God and we're going to do justice by the Word of God. So we focus on the principle, not the person. Here's the second thing he tells us, our responsibility in judgment. He says this, look with me in verse number 3. Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. The second thing he teaches us is this, protect those who are being taken advantage of. When you're called into a situation, you see a problem going on, and you have to make a judgment decision, we should always lean towards, is someone here defenseless? Is someone here being taken advantage of here? And especially, I think the Lord is, because he talks about the fatherless, I think especially he's talking about children. You know, when we're thinking about a ministry or thinking about dealing with, we always ought to say, okay, let me see if I can apply it without being too offensive. There are people, because of their behavior, they bring poverty into their family. Drunkenness, drugs, whatever. It's easy to look at families like that and just say, well, that's what they get. Do the drugs, do the booze, you ruin your life, you deserve what comes your way. And maybe, I understand, you reap what you sow, and I understand that they kind of get what they ask for because of their behavior. But what about the children involved? That's always all we ought to be thoughtful of. Let me tell you, when we think about our bus ministry and bringing kids in, if you ever go to some of those homes, you would look at the moms and dads and say, wait a minute, they just waste money. They're not thankful. They seem to can't afford anything for their kids, but yet they have, you know, big screen TVs and all this thing. Boy, and why are we worrying about these people? They're ungodly. They just kind of get what they deserve because those kids aren't getting what they deserve. We ought to always, in our judgment, always be concerned about those who are being taken advantage of, those who are being mistreated, those who that we can look at and say they're defenseless, we gotta defend them. And the flip side is this, you never want to be a part of taking advantage of someone. The Lord says, no, we defend them, we look out for them, we never take advantage of someone. Let me show you the next. I'm trying to go through these kind of quickly just for the sake of time. Look at verse 5. He says, here's the third part of the responsibility. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of earth are out of course. Here's a third part of that responsibility. He said, focus on the principle, not the person. Protect those who are being taken advantage of. But here's a third thing. Seek out wisdom from God when you judge. The idea is this. You're not going to know how to make righteous judgment without the Lord's help. Pray and seek counsel. Here's what I find. When someone asks you a question, now watch this. When someone asks you a question, you don't always have to answer it. You can say, I don't know. Let me pray about it. I don't know. Let me ask someone who's smarter than me. Before I unload on this person, maybe I should stop and say, you know, here's a situation I'm going through. Can you give me some advice, some wisdom? Ask someone else. And so the idea is this, is that we stop and say, Lord, I need wisdom in this decision making. I need some help here. I got a judgment to make. Can you give me some wisdom, some help along this way? So we have a responsibility in our judgment. We need to be aware of it. Focus on the principle. Protect those being taken advantage of. Seek out wisdom from God as we have judgment times to come. Then here's the third thrust of the Psalms 82. So be careful when you judge, especially with your words. Be aware of what our responsibility is in judgment. And then, here's the third, go with me to Psalms 82, look at verse 7. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Here's the third thrust. Number three is this. Be focused on Christ for your own judgment. In other words, all the judges are going to die. They're just people. But then he says this, arise, O God, judge the earth. The judge of the earth is the Lord himself. So when I'm judging others, I say, Lord, help me to be just. But what happens when someone's judging me and they're treating me unjustly? When I'm being accused of something that's not true, or being lied about, or being slandered, this is an unjust situation. How do I respond to that? That's not fair. It's not right. I don't like that. How do I respond to it? Well, the idea is I look to the Lord for my judgment. I'm not going to fuss with people because they treat me unjustly. I focus on Christ for my own judgment. Now think about this with me. There's only one true justice in this world. And that's the Lord. And most of the world rejects them. So they're not going to be very just. And the only time there's really going to be true justice in this world is when the Lord himself comes. When the Lord comes after the tribulation, at the end of the 7-year tribulation, he comes and he rules and reigns for that 1,000-year, that millennial reign of Christ. That's when there'll be true justice in this world. When Christ himself rules and judges for those 1,000 years. Now, the truth of the matter is this. We are going to be treated unjustly by people at times. I was talking to Richard. He was here this morning, over there by the Myers. He made a trip from here to New Mexico over last week. He was telling me about his trip. He got pulled over twice by the police. Once he said, I don't know what happened. I was just going down the road. That's exactly where the police are. You're never breaking the law, are you? And so anyways, the police pulled him over and said he made an illegal lane change or something and just gave him a warning ticket. Another time he was going, it was the speed limit was 70 and he was doing 77. Well, that's usually if you're on a flat highway going down the road, they don't really mess with you until you're doing a lot more than that. But you know what? 70 is the speed limit. 70 and a half, you're speeding. They pulled him over. Now, no one likes things like that, but we can say, okay, yeah, 77, that is... This is how we talk. Technically, that's speeding. Yeah, it is speeding. 7 miles over. There's no technical about it. You were speeding. Okay, so we understand that. We may not like it. We may say, that's just, and here's our excuse, but everyone else was passing me. But you were speeding, and you got the ticket. Okay, so we may not like it, but it's just. I mean, you were speeding, you got the ticket. I don't know if you got a ticket or not. I think you just got another warning. But there are times when we are not doing wrong at all, and it still comes our way. And it's easy to be bitter. It's easy to be upset. It's easy to turn against people. And the reality is, in this world, there'll be times when we're treated unjustly. Sometimes on purpose, sometimes by accident, they still treat us unjustly. When those times happen, now here's really the main thrust of where we're going tonight. When those times happen, the only place for you to go is to Christ and intercede with them. Our first response, now here's the poke, Okay, I need you to open both eyes, please. Okay, here comes the poke. The first response to injustice should be prayer. Watch, not Facebook. How many people, every time someone treats them unjustly, it's all over Facebook? And it may, you know what? Okay, you maybe were treated unjustly. But the question is, did you pray at all about this? Did you ask the Lord? Because maybe the Lord is allowing this for a reason. So instead of getting all of the likes on Facebook, maybe you ought to get along with the Lord and say, Lord, you know my heart. You know my actions. You know this is not right. This is unjust. What are you doing, Lord? Why are you allowing? Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, you're right. Maybe this is a refining fire. Maybe this is an opportunity to be a good witness. Okay, maybe this is an unjust situation, but it allows me now to do something I could not have done before. And so we seek the Lord in these things. Let me just show you a couple of verses. Revelation chapter 6. I've skipped through some of the verses, but I don't want to skip through them all. Revelation chapter 6. Because half of it is us being just in our judgment, treating people right. The other half is dealing with the injustice that comes our way. Revelation 6, now this, we mentioned the millennial reign of Christ. This is, I think the time frame is most likely during the tribulation period, but I think it applies in a broader sense. Revelation 6, look with me at verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. That would be an unjust situation. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell in the earth? In other words, they're seeking the Lord. They're saying, Lord, this is an injustice. Lord, we need your help. Lord, we need you to avenge us. Go with me to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Because you may say, well, that doesn't fix the situation. I pray, I might feel better, but it doesn't change anything. You know prayer does change things. And prayer can change people. Did you know this? I know this is going to be news to you. Did you know that God is not limited by man? And that, just like God can work in your life, He can work in someone else's life. Someone who's mistreating you, you can say, Lord, can you work in this situation and work in this life? I want you to notice this verse, Proverbs 21. Look with me in verse number 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. The whole idea here is that the Lord can be involved in these situations. And so when we're being dealt with, there are times when you have to deal with people who have authority over you. You know what's a good thing to pray? Say something like this. Lord, would you give me grace in their eyes? Would you work in my behalf in this situation? Lord, I need your help in this. Because the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He can maneuver it. He can turn it. And I understand that God doesn't violate our free will. I understand that. But I also know the Lord can work in circumstances and help people understand things or help make things maybe more pleasant if they do it the Lord's way. And so the Lord can work in our behalf. And Lord, that's why our first response to injustice should be prayer. Lord, help me. Lord, I want to be just to these people, but Lord, these people aren't being just to me. And so instead of me pouting and whining and being bitter, Lord, work in the situation. Lord, be involved in this situation. So we're focused on Christ for our own judgment. So we try to be just to others and then trust the Lord to be our judge in those situations. Now let's get to the end of the message. I've rushed through it a little bit. I apologize for that, but we need to get through. Let me get to the end of the message. One of the biggest regrets of life, I think, this is my opinion. One of the biggest regrets of life is looking back and realizing people you treated unjustly. That's a great regret. I think in my own life, I think of situations where I made a bad judgment call. I thought I knew all the facts. I thought I had a handle on things. I made a judgment call, but looking back years later, If I had to do it again, I wouldn't have made that judgment. That was an unjust judgment. They've produced regrets. Maybe you wanted to be just, but still you acted unjustly. Maybe you acted justly, but you spoke unjustly. Boy, I can tell you that. That's been my case at times. When I did exactly what was the right thing to do, but the words I used to convey that were very unjust. They were hurtful. They were words that tore down, words that brought death. And if I could, if I could rewind the tape, and right before I said that, I would just punch myself in the mouth and say, shut up. Just shut up. You have no idea the damage of those words. Just stop. But yet we open our mouth and words come out and we live with those regrets. That injustice we do to other people. Now maybe we were unjust because we assumed something that wasn't true. Maybe we're unjust because we had the wrong motives in our judgment. We thought, you know, at the time we maybe thought high and mighty, like, yeah, I got the right motive, but looking back we say, nah, you're manipulative. You're trying to work it to your own end, your own desire in that. That wasn't right what you did. So maybe our judgment was unjust because we assumed something. Our judgment was unjust because we had wrong motives. Maybe we were unjust because we feared other people. Pastors do this. I'm sure others do it. I know pastors do it. Well, what will everyone else think? Why does that matter what everyone else thinks? There's only one person that we need to worry about. What does the Lord think about this? If the Lord doesn't have a problem, who cares if you do? I'm trying to do what's just, not what's popular. What's just about this situation? How should I handle this situation? Well, if you don't do X, people will get mad. That's not part of it. If you don't do this, if you don't do it this way, boy, you might lose some people. That's not the part of it. It's what is right about this. What is the principle? What does the Lord want? So we could be unjust because we assumed something that wasn't true. We could be unjust because we had wrong motives in that judgment. We could be unjust because we feared other people. And all of those produce regrets in this life. So what do we do? Well, tonight, if that's the case, and there is something in your life that you know that you treated someone unjustly, then I would say this, decide to make things right if you can. If you can find that person, if they're in the church, if they're outside the church, when you can find that person, you go to them, you apologize, and you ask for their forgiveness. I think one of the important things we can do as believers is go to another believer and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Now, you don't say, but you shouldn't have. You simply say, what I did was wrong. But they did. Okay, but that's not the issue. Were you just? Well, they were unjust. But that's not the issue. Were you just? If you are not, apologize. Sorry for what I said. That's not how a believer should talk to another believer. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. My motive I thought was right, but as I think about it, it wasn't. Please forgive me. If there's something unjust that you've done to someone, the best you can, if you can, make things right. Apologize, restore, whatever is needed. Ask for their forgiveness. Now, it may be a situation where you can't make things right. Maybe it's not a situation like that. Maybe it's because of the uniqueness of the situation, that's not the answer. That's not going to work. Well, then, if there is something there still, here's what I would say. You go to the Lord and say, Lord, that situation was wrong. I was wrong. Watch this. Please forgive me. And Lord, the best of my ability, I am not ever going to do that again. Ask the Lord for help. Ask for forgiveness. Ask the Lord for help. Draw that line and say, no more. I'm not going to fear people. No more. I'm not going to assume things. No more. I'm not going to let this mouth just run loose. Forgive me, Lord. Help me do right. Or, thirdly, if you're the one who's been treated unjustly, turn it over to the Lord. Ask Him to bring the justice. Quit trying to get a crowd on your side. Just turn it over to the Lord. Quit trying to get more on your side than on their side. Just turn it over to the Lord. Decide you're not going to be bitter, regardless of the outcome. Make sure you're not guilty in some way. If there's something you've done to make things right, make sure you're innocent in it. Turn it over to the Lord. And say, Lord, I'm your child. You're my God. You're my judge. This situation is in your hands. And I am not going to take matters in my own hand. You're my judge. Turn over to the Lord. Whatever that situation is, the Lord demands justice between us as God's people. He wants justice between all people, but especially between God's people. Justice.